Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike.
Lauren.
How often do you see videos for OMG Yes when you're scrolling Instagram?
All the time. Like at least a couple times a day.
Tell the people what OMG Yes is.
It's a tutorial website that teaches men and women how to provide pleasure in the bedroom.
Are these ads that you're seeing, or are they video influencers who are shilling for products?
They're targeted ads, but I mean, so are video influence ads, right? There, I think I can't really tell the difference.
Right. Yeah. I guess it depends on whether you're talking about TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, because the type of content you see is slightly different. But it seems like social video is now just shopping video.
So much shopping everywhere. Yeah. Way too much.
We should talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
And I'm Michael Calori. I'm director of consumer tech and culture at Wired.
And we're joined this week by Wired staff writer Amanda Hoover. Amanda, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So a few weeks ago, those of you who tuned into the pod might have heard our episode about a potential TikTok ban here in the United States. We're talking about TikTok again this week. That's a lot of talk, talking about TikTok. But this time it's something totally different, which is the absolute glut of shopping videos that have filled the feed on TikTok since September. You've probably seen them if you're on TikTok. At first, they look just like other videos. It's real people speaking earnestly to camera, positioning themselves in front of good lighting, a little window lighting, a bit scripted, but also off the cuff. And also selling products at crazy steep discounts. What gives? Why has shopping completely infiltrated not just TikTok, but a lot of our video feeds? So Amanda, we wanted to ask you on to discuss this, as well as some of the changes that are going to be happening on TikTok very soon, because you wrote a story about this for Wired.com this week. So maybe first we should talk about what happened last year that helped create this phenomenon on TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok Shop launched in the US in September, and they were very eager to onboard sellers. So that meant offering very good deals. And they got a lot of people signed up. You know, they're sort of outpaced in terms of onboarding sellers. They've outpaced Amazon and Shopify recently, because there's just been a lot of excitement around this platform and its ability to connect to shoppers. What you had was a mix of sellers for sure. There were some kind of like mom and pop shops, you know, D2C brands that might be selling like a specific product they've been making. You had some big brands join the platform, like some big makeup brands or clothing. But you had a lot of random third-party sellers selling very odd things that were incredibly, incredibly cheap.
And what were the seller fees?
They started out at 2%. So that's very good compared to competitors. As of April 1st, they've jumped up to 6%, and that's ramping up to 8% come July.
So what sorts of things are being sold right now? You mentioned like cheap products, but what are we talking about? We're talking about home goods, apparel.
It's almost anything you could think of. Beauty does really well on TikTok. Anything about skincare. When TikTok Shop first started, there was snail mucin, which is snail slime, for your face. This is a popular Korean skincare product. I think a lot of people hadn't heard of it before, but there were all these videos different influencers were making, or maybe not even influencers, just customers at that point saying they didn't know if the products were counterfeit or not, comparing them to ones they had bought at Ulta from the same brand. So that's a product that did very well. There were other makeup products. There's sort of hair styling products, but there's also almost anything you could think of. Like, I just did a sweep as I was writing this story last week, and there was like a giant head covering of the Duolingo owl. There were stuffed capybara animals. There's like a lot of stuff that could kind of be considered a little like viral item that makes your life easier. You know, maybe something that makes cleaning your kitchen or organizing your kitchen a bit simpler. So there's really almost anything that you could think of or that you've never thought of.
Mike, I've already decided that I want the Duolingo owl mask for my birthday.
Okay. Noted.
And Amanda, you write in your story, it's not just the seller fees that were appealing to sellers. TikTok was also offering subsidies for some of these products.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily like fully going away. Right now, there's still a spring sale if you go over to the shopping tab where you can see certain items that are available in the spring sale. And those discounts might come from a combination of the seller discounting and TikTok subsidizing some of those costs. So there were a lot of sales like this, like a Black Friday sale, new customer sale, you know, things like this throughout the time that TikTok Shop has, you know, been a platform in the US for about 6 months.
Have either of you bought any products on TikTok?
I have not.
Amanda, have you?
I bought one, and it was a product that I was being bombarded with videos about. It was the Wavy Talk like hair styling tool. It's kind of a heated brush, so it makes it look like you had like a salon ready hair blowout. I have tried it a few times. I don't know that I'm getting the same results as the women in the videos, but I got it for much cheaper than what it was selling for on Amazon.
How much cheaper? Like 30%?
Probably at least 30% cheaper.
Pretty significant.
It's really though, if you look now, because you know, I'm still seeing it sometimes. Once I bought it, I got way fewer videos. You know, they're definitely paying attention to once you finally like go through their platform and finish the transaction, you know, they want to start hitting you with new products. But I've noticed, you know, it's more expensive than it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when I bought it. So there's a lot of fluctuation in some of these prices.
So with the fees going up this month and then again later on in the summer, is this going to affect the frequency of the videos, the shopping videos that we see in our feeds, or the types of shopping videos that we see in our feeds?
I don't know if it will affect the frequency. The thing with the fees is, you know, the sellers will now have to be able to absorb those additional costs. That might mean raising prices. That might mean that some of these very, very cheap items, you know, there are places selling things for less than a dollar. It might not be worth it for third-party sellers like that are selling, you know, 10 pairs of socks for less than a dollar. If these fees go up, they might not be able to absorb those. So we'll see. I think we see less videos for that type of item though, and more for things that are a little bit more expensive, and maybe things like, you know, the Stanley water cups. Those were a big item. Those are a bit more expensive. And some of these really wanted viral items.
And let's say a seller does decide to leave TikTok because of the changing fee structure. Do you have a sense of how easily they can just migrate from Instagram to YouTube? Like, is the audience different enough that their product might sell differently? Does that mean they have to create all new kinds of content, or can they just like port it over? How does that work?
It might really depend. They will, you know, be without the TikTok algorithm, which I think has been really, really helpful to certain brands. For the story, I talked to just this makeup brush company. They sell a couple other like cosmetic items, you know, just founded by a husband and wife. The wife actually was, had done a lot of work with makeup kind of online, you know, kind of had a little bit of a presence, but they've told me that their sales with TikTok Shop have just like skyrocketed. And it's just been such a useful platform for them. And, you know, they're selling an item that they really believe in, they really, really care about. They're not just selling random third-party stuff. So they're an example of a small business that has really benefited from this and, you know, probably doesn't want to leave, but will have to evaluate long-term how different fees affect their ability to sell here and their ability to price things.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about, well, we're going to talk shop and do a little bit of confession time.
Hackers and cyber criminals have always held this kind of special fascination.
Obviously, I can't tell you too much about what I do.
It's a game. Who's the best hacker? And I was like, well, this is child's play.
I'm Dina Temple Raston. And on the Click Here podcast, you'll meet them and the people trying to stop them.
We're not afraid of the attack. We're afraid of the creativity and the intelligence of the human being behind it.
Click Here, stories about the people making and breaking our digital world.
AI machines.
Satellite. Engine ignition.
Click Here.
And liftoff.
Click Here, every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's confession time. Bless us, Father Capitalism, for we have fallen prey to lusting after products we've seen in our feeds and reels. Amanda, I'm going to start with you. You already told us about the brush that you bought from TikTok. Have you ever bought anything from Instagram or YouTube?
I have not bought anything from YouTube, and I don't believe I've really bought things directly from Instagram. I've definitely been influenced. I was on a big zero waste kick a couple of years ago. So then I would just see so many products on Instagram, you know, ways you can like replace your toothpaste tube and really make just feel horrible about all the plastic that we use. So I definitely went down like an influenced rabbit hole on that and was buying lots of things, whether direct off Instagram or just finding them elsewhere.
That seems like of all the things to potentially fall down the rabbit hole on, like a pretty virtuous one, you know. It's not like you were like, oh yeah, I ended up buying a ton of fast fashion and
you know,
quite certain the people working at the factories making the fast fashion were being underpaid or something horrible like that.
It's kind of funny. I have done some reporting on this separate, like of zero waste influencers. And some of it's kind of funny that like a lot of these products end up being like quite expensive. And sometimes it's hard to trace how ethically they were really made and whether they were greenwashed in their advertising. So it kind of comes down to the best thing to be zero waste is to buy less things and reuse things. So it's a very interesting like influencer cycle.
Shocking.
Right, yeah. Right.
The shocking revelation.
Yeah. Do they offer like, you know, 24-hour shipping as well when you buy the zero waste products?
It's when
like,
you buy them on Amazon,
talk about the carbon
do.
Emissions. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Mike, what about you? Have you bought anything on any of the platforms we're talking about?
I think I've bought a couple of t-shirts from Instagram, but they're not like t-shirts that were served to me in ads. It's mostly I see a t-shirt design, like a cool design, and I follow the designer or I follow like the small, you know, silkscreen company that's putting out these shirts. And then after a couple of weeks of seeing their stuff in my feed, I go to the website and I pick something out and I buy it. So I haven't like completed a purchase through the Instagram app and like pressed on the buttons before. But yeah, I do find things like creators or small businesses or things that I like. Also like a lot of musicians. I find like musicians, I guess, are creators, right? They're posting videos of them playing music and then I check out their music and eventually I buy a ticket or I buy an album or something like that.
But that's such it. A Gen X experience with creators. But it's
just got Gen X again.
It's true though. Instagram is really good for discovery.
Yeah.
I may not be the target audience for TikTok shopping, but I don't find that TikTok is as good for hashtag inspo.
Right.
But Instagram is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. TikTok feels to me more like just entertainment. Like here is a bunch of fun things that you can watch.
Right.
Whereas Instagram is more like, here are some interesting things in the world that you can discover, plus some fun things to watch, plus...
You can buy directly if you want to.
Yeah.
You can shop now.
Buy these scented candles.
Right.
Buy these sunglasses. Yeah. Buy these shoes.
Yeah. I ended up buying one thing from Instagram.
What was it?
It was a bra.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I returned it immediately. It wasn't, just wasn't the right thing.
Yeah.
But I had been, I mean, just completely pummeled with ads. And eventually it got me. It worked.
Yeah.
We're describing this right now over a podcast. So maybe for some of you, it's hard to envision. But like, you'll see an ad on Instagram and there's now like a shoppable button below it, or like a bar that you can just click on and then immediately buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of all these, right? They, like the social feeds, they become actionable in that way. So anyway, our editor bought two sweaters on Instagram that had been haunting her. And they took so long to arrive that she filed a fraud claim with her bank. And then like almost immediately after doing that, the sweaters arrived. And then she tried writing to the seller to say, hey, like, I just want to make this right. She was trying to do a nice thing. I want to pay you for these two sweaters, which I said were like a fraud claim or whatever. And like, she just, they're like, what, huh? Like, and the whole thing just ended up being less than ideal because the seller didn't ship very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amanda, do you have a sense of how well YouTube is doing with shopping? Because my personal observation with YouTube is there's a lot of shorts and a lot of shop now happening on YouTube.
Yeah, I didn't look at YouTube in terms of this story. I think TikTok Shop is a bit more like comparable to places kind of like Temu and Shein, just because of the ways that things have been really cheap. You know, maybe not necessities, but like cute little things you might want are on there a lot. There's some necessities too, but a lot of the experts on social shopping, like, really liken it more to things like that than some of the other big shopping, like e-commerce giants.
Right. Yeah. My YouTube ads for shopping are pretty, they're pretty high end, I would say.
Do you watch a lot of YouTube on your phone?
On mobile. Yeah,
on mobile.
Or iPad too.
Yeah.
Mostly I would say iPad. So this is going to sound like a shameless plug for Condé Nast, our parent company, which also owns a bunch of other magazines. But I really enjoy the ED, Architectural Digest, home tour videos. Mm-hmm. They get like millions and millions of views. And it's total house porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the Vogue, like, get ready with me in the morning videos. Here's my skincare routine. Here's like some person like putting foaming cleanser on their face, which is strangely soothing and reminds me of the like Noxzema ads we used to get served as kids.
Mm-hmm.
But now I find that when I'm on mobile and I go to look for something like that, there'll be like one video at the top of the results page. And then there's definitely an ad for product. Like 100%, like, here's a ruggable rug, or like some ridiculously overpriced magic potion skincare. And then below that, there will be just like a row of shorts. And I don't like it, honestly. This is going to sound like, oh, shakes fist, want the old internet back. But like, I really don't. Like, when I go to YouTube, I'm still expecting that it's going to be like a 7 to 10 minute video, and it's going to be some creator or some expert going deep on a topic. And YouTube appears to be trying really desperately to adapt to the like TikTokification of our social feeds and make all these shorts. The shorts themselves aren't shoppable, but the ads around them are. And there is like a shop now button.
Right.
Do you see that too?
Well, curiously, almost all of my YouTube viewing is on my television. Like, I have the YouTube app on my Apple TV and I watch YouTube on my TV. So I don't really get a lot of like shoppable anything in my feed.
Oh, that's interesting. But you see ads.
I do see ads. I see pre-roll mm-hmm. ads a lot and mid-roll ads a lot. And I feel like I'm both very easy to target and very difficult to target.
How so?
Okay, so I am a man in my late 40s, right? So I am a particular demographic. I live demographically in an area that is like majority Hispanic, and I watch a ton of music, and a lot of that music is in like, I watch live performance videos a lot on YouTube. It's like probably 2/3 of what I watch. And a lot of that is performers who are, you know, singing in a language that is not English. So I get a ton of ads in Spanish language for like erectile dysfunction medication.
OMG, yes.
For That's different. I get a lot of travel ads, and I get a lot of like mortgage and banking ads, not all of them in Spanish, but like, you know, a good, like a noticeable number of them in Spanish, but most of them in English. So it's difficult for me to say. And like, these aren't things that I'm ever going to buy. They're just like, this is what's getting served to me. This is what I mean by like, you know, I think they have a pretty good idea of what I'm into and who I am, but also they have no idea what I'm into. And who
yeah.
I
yeah. Amanda, do you feel targeted with the ads that you're seeing in social shopping?
Definitely on TikTok. I think that they have figured out that I am a 30-year-old woman and I bought one kind of cosmetic like product. And now they're like, do you want all of these other things? So I would say it's been more accurate there than a lot of other places. But on Instagram, you know, it's been fairly accurate there as well. I think a lot of apparel ads there have kind of tracked me down.
Right, right. Yeah, this is unrelated but related. You know, I think Threads, which is owned by Meta and Instagram share APIs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure what you're doing on Threads is informing Instagram and vice versa.
Oh, absolutely.
So my Threads are just a mess because I consider Instagram like entertainment, the way you describe TikTok and some discovery and that kind of thing. And so my Threads, like where I go, because I think I mostly want to see news, which Threads has deprioritized. So instead, I'm seeing these updates that feel like some version of Reddit's famous subreddit, Am I the Asshole? You know, so like for those who don't know AITA, like it's this forum where people go to post like some personal situation where people have made questionable decisions and they're asking, is that person the asshole or am I the asshole? And then it just gets thousands of responses, people who just love to give life advice. Very entertaining. My Threads has become a version of that. It's wild. I'm like, you know, I just want to hear about what's going on in like tech, national security, you know, trends.
That's not what Threads is for.
The election. You know, instead it's like, ladies, how do you know whether or not to get divorced? And I'm like, what is happening to my Threads?
So this is a business opportunity for Meta, because if they can figure out a way to make that content shoppable.
Right. Find your divorce lawyer here.
Then they've got you.
Right. Yeah. All right. Last question for Amanda. Do you have a sense of between YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, which one is quote unquote winning social shopping?
I'm not sure. I think it's pretty early to say for TikTok shop, but I think that they really have done quite well. And they're kind of in a space now where there's, as they have to raise their seller fees, it's a bit of a test for them to see what their longevity is and how sustainable this is as a business model. Of course, all of this with like talk of a TikTok ban, I think can scare away some brands, particularly like larger brands, from joining. So it feels like it's a little early to rank them when they're so new on the scene.
We'll have to have you back on at some point, maybe 6 months from now, to talk about this again. Yeah. Hopefully before then, though.
I'm going to go watch a bunch of shorts and see what I get served, and I'll report back.
Hims and hers.
Yeah, hims and hers.
All right, let's take another quick break, and then we're going to come back with our recommendations.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jesse Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.
Amanda, what's your rec?
So another product I first saw on TikTok shop while we're on theme, this, you know, all got me thinking. It's like this cap that you pull down over your face, you keep it in the freezer. So it's advertised as being for hangovers, it's also great for headaches. And it just like immediately cools down your head, helps with any like pressure, tension, whatever. And it's called Hungover AF is like one of the main brands of it. But there are, I think there are a couple of others, but that was the one that I first saw.
What a great brand name.
So do you like keep it in the freezer?
Yeah, you got to keep it in the freezer, because if you wake up hungover, it's not going to be ready in time. This is, you know, you got to do some prep.
Does it actually cover your face?
Yes. Like wow. Covers your eyes. It's like a soft cap.
Wow. I could see how that would be great for yeah. migraines.
Amanda, have you considered not drinking?
I actually had a friend who loved this too, or like always was talking about having headaches. And I'd had this cold roller thing, you know, like a skin roller. And I yeah. let her borrow that once when she had a really bad hangover. And then I saw this and I was like, this is going to totally like change the game.
Don't be a scold, Michael. I'm not... She's 30 years old living in New York City. I mean, come on.
30 is where you start to get the hangover sooner than you expected to. So
just wait. Just wait. A bottle opens across the room and immediately I start to feel terrible.
Yeah, every time Mike goes to CES, it's like, oh, good luck. You're going for, you know, 5 days, 6 days. And he's like, the first five, bitters and soda.
That's right. I do not drink at CES until the last night. That's my move.
It's a good method.
People ask me for Las Vegas recommendations. I'm like, don't drink until you're going home.
Right. You can sleep on a plane home. Thank you for that, Amanda. I look forward to linking to that in the show notes, because we're going to become our own little shopping platform. Did you also know you can buy Wired merch?
We're going to be recommended.
We have to hype the merch.
We're going to start seeing ads for this thing now.
We are. We totally are. They're listening. Mike, what's your recommendation?
Mine is a movie. It's a new film from the director Wim Wenders. That's Wim Wenders with two W's. He's a German film director, a very famous art movie guy, and he has made a movie called Anselm. It's a documentary about the German artist Anselm Kiefer. Kiefer has been active since the late 60s, and he's still active today. He is a very political artist. He pulls a lot of historical stuff out of the sort of collective consciousness of Germany and of America and of the world, and puts it on canvases and large scale sculptures. And he's like, he builds small towns that you can walk through. A really incredible artist and a lot of fun to watch work. And that's the neat thing about this movie, is it uses recreations of his life with actors, historical footage, and contemporary documentary footage to sort of stitch together his life story, his career arc, his philosophy, his way of looking at the world, without using any voiceover, you know, because the movie uses all of these old historical films and has contemporary interviews. It's just like a portrait. It's not like a educational documentary. So it's a little bit abstract. It's in theaters now. And if you go see it in the theater, it's a 3D movie. But you can also rent it at home in 2D, which I did, just because I don't like 3D. I'm one of those anti-3D people. So you can watch it at home. You can rent it. If you have Criterion, it's streaming on Criterion. If you want to go to the theater and put on little glasses, I'm sure it's amazing and beautiful. But I can highly recommend it if you're a fan of art, or if you're a fan of Wim Wenders, or if you're just a fan of like weirdo documentaries about Germans who make beautiful art.
Very cool. I can't say I'm going to watch it, but I appreciate that you appreciate it.
I look forward to you seeing it so that we can talk about it.
Okay.
What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is wake up, face east, stare into the sun for 20 minutes, jump rope, and then do a cold plunge. Just kidding.
I was going to say, are you Huberman now?
Oh,
what's going
God.
On?
God. I was, that was, yeah. Apparently those podcasts are very popular. Not quite sure I understand it. My recommendation. So, you know, at the start of the year, everyone tries something new. You're trying to break a bad habit, initiate a new one. And then, you know, you fall off after a couple months. This one happens to have lasted throughout the first quarter of the year for me. So I figured, why not? I think this is a new routine that I'm going to stick with. I'm now using a paper planner or notebook. I used to keep a running list of everything I needed to get done, like everything I needed to get done. It was like work immediate, work longer term, personal administrative stuff, book work, podcast work, like all, you know, birthday gifts I need to buy for, baby gifts I need to buy for people. Like, and it just, it was in my Apple Notes and it was endless and it was dynamic. It was constantly changing. And I got, I just, it was so overwhelming. So I had gotten one of those, how do you say this? You're the German aficionado. What is it? Lichterm?
I don't know what you're, what Lichterm. Word are you referring to?
We'll put it in the show notes, but it's a Lichterm.
Oh, it's like a brand of notebook.
1917.
Yes.
Brand of notebook.
Yes.
They're expensive. Boone, our excellent producer, is holding his up right now. I got this at a conference last year and took it out and I was like, I'm going to start using this. I keep a daily to-do list and I don't look that far ahead. And it's been great.
That's nice.
And sometimes I use it for jotting down notes. I'm going to a meeting and I just need to like pull out something quickly to jot. But for the most part, it's not a reporting notebook. It is just a things I need to do in the next like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I find it so much more manageable and helps me focus. And I really like doing it. So if you, too, keep a completely overwhelming digital to-do list and you find that it's just too much, you're not getting the things done that you want to, or you're just like, you're just putting too much pressure on yourself, I recommend switching to paper and then just toning it down a bit, right? Like keeping tasks, like the things in front of you that are more immediate and not worrying about some of the other stuff.
That's a great recommendation. I used a free form mm-hmm. notebook, just like no lines, no dates, no nothing last year. And this year I switched to Hobonichi, which is a very rigidly defined day-to-day planner. And it has like a to-do list at the top and a notes and inspirational quotes at the bottom. It's excellent. I love it.
That's great. And how far ahead are you looking?
24 hours.
Sorry, that's a dumb question. You just said it's day-to-day.
Literally. Yeah, it's I don't flip the pages forward. I just 24 hours. Cool. I think it's very important for my sanity to just look 24 hours ahead. I have so many calendar events that I can worry about them later.
Well, and that's what a calendar is for.
Exactly. Right?
That's what GCal is for. Yeah. No, the to-dos is, we just all have so much to do. it's just too much. It's too much. I'd like to check out now and become a shopping influencer. I'm going to sell Lichterm notebooks.
The German aficionado.
All right. This podcast has sufficiently gone off the rails, which is what I always like. Also, I just want to give our listeners a reminder. We love your reviews. We really do. We read them. Mike and I were just doing a little celebratory Easter thing with friends this weekend. And like three people there at the brunch were like, we love your guys' podcast. We listen to it every week now. And I was like, that's amazing. Could you please leave us a review? I felt very thirsty. But really, we love your reviews. So please leave them. And thank you so much for listening to our loyal fans. If you have feedback, you can find all of us on the socials. Just check the show notes. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks.
And thank you to Boone Ashworth, our very excellent producer. Goodbye for now. We'll be back next week.
Want a new podcast to look forward to each week? One that's entertaining, informative, and packed with actionable content? Come on, of course you do. Introducing The Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside your own brain. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors, and scientists, to mobsters, spies, and hostage negotiators. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, G-E-R, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.
From P.